It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. 9 days after the fatal shooting of Renee Good by a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent in Minneapolis, a border community in Wisconsin feels on edge.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is asking President Trump to, quote, turn the temperature down after his threat to deploy military forces to Minneapolis if state officials don't stop protests against ICE raids.
With escalating tensions in Minneapolis between protesters and ICE agents, we turn our attention to Eau Claire in western Wisconsin to find out how that community is feeling. The Eau Claire County Sheriff confirmed last Monday, January 5th, that ICE agents were sighted within Eau Claire and at its courthouse.
Emily Berge is Eau Claire City Council President. Emily, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Your county, Eau Claire County, Chippewa Valley, close to Minneapolis. What is it like in your community since the fatal shooting of Renee Good?
Well, Minneapolis, we have a lot of people with connections from Minnesota, Minneapolis. I talked to several people that have their adult children live in that same neighborhood. So, you know, we're only about an hour and a half away. So we are on edge. I think that's a good description. It feels a bit like a pressure cooker over here. And then just watching, you know, the killing of Renee and then the protests and then our own confirmed sightings of ICE in our county is just, it's a lot. And I just always think about the most vulnerable in our community and people don't feel safe right now.
Can we talk further about that sightings of ICE in your community? The Eau Claire County Sheriff, the department confirmed to us last week about ICE presence in the county. Do you have any updates to share? What have you learned?
I don't have a lot of updates to share. There's not a lot, you know, there ICE is not talking with our local police and our local police aren't talking with ICE. So they're kind of just doing their own thing. And it's really just if people happen to see their cars or trucks or whatever they're driving or them doing their actions. So it's just kind of through word of mouth right now because there's no real official communication.
Emily, you know, Eau Claire has this vibrant Hmong community, yeah. Latino population. What has been the yeah. impact on local communities of color?
They're feeling unsafe, you know, not to speak for them, but I do have relationships in the community and they're feeling unsafe that they have to, even though they're American citizens, you know, they have to bring their documents with them, their passports or ID with them when they leave the house, even, you know, to walk their dog or bring their kids to school. And it's just that extra step, that extra thing that they always have to think about that me as a white person doesn't have to think about. And so it's just people are just worried about their family members, their neighbors. And it's just a scary time for a lot of folks.
You've talked about how people in Eau Claire, I mean, they go to the airport, they shop, they eat, yeah. they do business in Minnesota and Minneapolis area. Do you think, will Eau Claire residents perhaps avoid going to the Twin Cities during this tense time with ICE activity and protests?
I think some probably will. And I think some are, you know, there's a lot of helpers in our community throughout the whole country. And I think people, if they think it'll be helpful, they would go. But I think people are fearful, yes, as well, and will avoid the area. And a lot of people don't like chaos. We don't feel safe when it's chaotic, and people will avoid it. But we do love Minneapolis, and we're standing with them, and the immigrant community, just like here in Eau Claire too. I'm very clear in that all are welcome in Eau Claire, no matter where you're from.
Emily, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
You too. We've been talking about ICE activity in Wisconsin and neighboring Minnesota with Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge. Now to talk about the rights that immigrants in Minnesota and Wisconsin have, we turn to Mark Christopher, an immigration attorney with offices in Appleton and Milwaukee. He has been representing some of the hundreds of Haitian immigrants in his community who have lost their legal refugee status. Mark, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Do your immigrant clients have fears after seeing what is transpiring in Minneapolis with ICE raids and protesters? What do you hear?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody is terrified. They see what's been broadcast on TV. They see the indiscriminate arrest of people. They see ICE going door to door. And so the level of fear and anxiety in our immigrant community is off the charts.
Have you learned of ICE activity where you are? Are you hearing other reports around Wisconsin? What do you know?
As of right now, I haven't seen a huge influx or increase of what I would call ICE being in our streets and detaining people that way. I have seen an increase of ICE detaining individuals who may be in our local jails, who may have been arrested, even if on very minor offenses like driving without a license. But as far as this indiscriminate going around door to door in Wisconsin, not yet.
There is so much legal complexity and confusion over jurisdiction among law enforcement agencies and whether ICE agents at a scene are, you know, acting within their authority. And I'm wondering, the Trump administration sending large numbers of ICE agents to Minnesota, what rights do immigrants have against these enforcement policies and tactics?
Yeah, what I tell everybody is, when you're out on the street, you're walking on the sidewalk, you're at a store, you are never, ever required to give a law enforcement officer your immigration status, where you were born, if you're on a visa. Not in one instance are you required to do that. So by simply knowing that simple right and utilizing it, it can go a long way.
How do these rights compare to what we're seeing playing out on the ground with ICE agents? I mean, we've seen federal agents toss tear gas at protesters. We've seen someone, you know, being dragged out of their car. What is your assessment?
Yeah, well, I think what they're relying on, what ICE is relying on, is a culture of fear. And when they go up to an individual and, you know, maybe they speak a different language or they look different, if they go up and ask them, are you here without status? Were you born in the U.S.? Or are you a U.S. citizen? If they say no, a lot of times people see law enforcement and they want to comply. They want to answer. They don't want to lie. So they say, no, I don't have it. Then at that point, they're able to detain and inquire more. Now, as far as them, you know, the tear gas at the protesters, it's just an unfortunate thing that's going on. I think a lot of the ICE officers that are out there right now are relatively new on the streets. They don't have a lot of experience. From my understanding, there's not a lot of vetting and training of the officers. And so I think when you have that situation, you have high tensions, you run into situations like we're seeing in Minneapolis.
As an attorney, do you have concerns about due process as you see how ICE is conducting its raids and conducting its arrests?
Absolutely. And in so many different ways. As an attorney, once somebody is detained by ICE, sometimes it's nearly impossible for me to even have any communication with them. What we're seeing is, let's say somebody is arrested in Wisconsin. 3 days later, they're in Louisiana, in an ICE detention center in Louisiana or Kentucky. And it takes me at least a week to arrange for an attorney conference call. So my ability to speak with them is very limited. They're not given what their rights are by ICE officers. And sometimes they're being swept away without ever me having an opportunity to speak with them. So, yeah, very much so am I concerned about due process.
Are there enough of you? Are there enough immigration attorneys to assist in these cases?
Yeah, candidly, no. No, there aren't. And it's a very complex area of law. It's a very nuanced area of law. And it's very difficult, both from the standpoint emotionally of dealing with these situations, understanding families are going to be separated, knowing what the consequences are. But also from just a logistical standpoint, once somebody's taken by ICE, it takes me an hour or two to even figure out where they are. Then I have to arrange some type of attorney conference call with that specific jail. So it's very time consuming. It's very emotionally taxing. But I guess the short answer to your question is no, there aren't a lot of attorneys out here who are able to do this type of work.
When we talked earlier this summer, I mean, there were concerns about clients showing up at the courthouse and possibly, you know, for their proceedings and fearing being arrested or taken away by ICE. Are those feelings still concerns of your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there, not only is that there, but since we talked in the summer, the ability for individuals to apply for asylum has been essentially stripped. So if you've come into the United States in the last like 4 or 5 years, there's a new agreement in place whereby if you're applying for asylum, they're saying, no, you can't do it here in the United States because we've entered into a third-party agreement with a different country. It could be a country in Africa. It could be Honduras. It could be, you know, one of a number of different countries. So you don't even get to have your asylum hearing here in the United States. You have to go to a third country now.
You would have to have so much money to do that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's asylum is an extremely, extremely time intensive type of case for an immigration attorney. It's not a cookie cutter case. So you have to spend time with the individual. You have to spend time with their family. And you do all of that. And now all of a sudden you're being told, well, you don't even get the opportunity to go in front of a judge here in the U.S. You have to do it now in a third country.
If a loved one is taken to an ICE detention facility here in Wisconsin or elsewhere, what should they do? What should their loved ones do?
Yeah, the most important thing initially is to properly prepare. Make sure that you have all of your documents, birth certificates of your children, marriage certificates. Also have an attorney ready to go. You know, at least go in and talk to someone where you can tell them what your background and your situation is. So if that person is detained, if they are detained here in Wisconsin, they're almost always processed through the Milwaukee ICE office. Once they're there, they get what's called an alien number. It's a 9-digit number. And once you have that number, if you pass that along to the attorney, that attorney then can try to locate them within the ICE systems. So, you know, making sure that you've got your documents, making sure you know your situation, making sure that you have an attorney, and then making sure you get your alien number. Those are all very important things to do.
Mark, thank you so much for this conversation. Thank you for taking the time.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. Thank you.
Mark Christopher is an immigration attorney with offices in Appleton and Milwaukee. And we previously spoke with Emily Berge, Eau Claire's city council president. We've been talking about ICE activity in Wisconsin and neighboring Minnesota and how communities are responding.